Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Margaret Bullock of the Tacoma Art Museum in Washington. We're talking about their Edward Munch and the Sea exhibit, which goes on until July 17th. Enjoy! We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book Reptiles on Caffeine on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, we have Margaret Bullock here at the Tacoma Art Museum. Hi, Margaret. How you doing?
Hi, Brooke. I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
Doing good. So tell me about this exhibit. I'm a huge fan of Edward Munch.
It's kind of an unusual one for us. The Tacoma Art Museum is focused on the art and artists of the Pacific Northwest. And so we do other shows that kind of give our viewers and our members context for various artists, but this one's unusual for us, and it came to us through Pacific Lutheran University here in Tacoma. They're celebrating their 125th anniversary.
Wow.
And they were founded by Norwegian Lutheran ministers, so they were looking for other community partners to do things to help them celebrate, and so the head of their Scandinavian Cultural Center approached our director, and I think she had something small in mind, like maybe we'd do a lecture or something, and we instead said, Norway, who's the most famous artist? That would be Munch. Let's do Munch. So that's how it got started.
Right. Yeah, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. And I think that, like, a lot of people, he's one of those people that you think you kind of think you know about because you've seen the screen,
right.
But you don't really know a whole lot about, actually. So,
absolutely true. And that's really, for me, the same thing. My main focus is really American art. That's always been my training. And so I knew, the basics from art history classes about him and a couple of famous images, and that was really it going into the show. So it's been a real discovery to learn about him.
Right, right. And I, it's funny, I'm sure a lot of people will be like, he did something else besides the scream.
Right.
So, but he actually did do a lot, and they do look very similar. But yeah, I'm interested in this whole in the sea concept. Tell me about that.
Well, that was, we were looking for an interesting hook, really, on him. He's an artist who's been studied, and lots of major museums have done exhibitions, and there's a few more happening either right now or in the works happening in another year or two. And that means in the world of museums that when you go to borrow something, you're up against all these other museums who are all trying to ask for the same work.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're smaller and European art is not our main focus, we're kind of lower down on the list of people that can get loans. So we were looking for an angle that probably others wouldn't be thinking about, and also just an interesting aspect of him that made some sense for us here in the Northwest.
Right.
And so we started looking at his work, and we noticed, well, landscape's really important to him. And then the more I looked, I thought, it's not landscape, it's the sea. It's the seashore, it's the water itself. And it's a really important place for him, both personally and in the artwork. And for us in the Northwest, of course, it's the same. It's true. We're living either on the Puget Sound or have little inlets and waterways coming off the ocean, and we're all very close to the water here. So it had a really nice connection for us.
Right, right. And I read that that a lot of times his work tends to convey his psychological and emotional states, and the sea seems perfect for that. So, it seems like, because the sea would be just, you could do it stormy, you could do it, angry, you could do it peaceful. I just think that's a great concept. Great.
Exactly it. And he was also just fascinated on the differences between if you're standing on land or if you've moved into water, how it feels different physically, how things look different physically, and all of that. So in his work, that became a spot for important things to happen and for transformations to happen of all kinds. And so he was just really interested in the back and forth there.
Right, right. And he had a really hard life. I was reading about just that his father died, and just all this. He had like the worst kind of luck that you could have.
I know his family history is really tragic, and it starts from the time he's small, and then runs all through his life. And then he has his own emotional issues and ups and downs, and certainly all the romances don't go well, and the family's dying. I mean, it's a complicated history.
Yeah, can't a guy catch a break?
Yeah, it's true. But of course, then he also, it all feeds into the work. So in some ways, you know, if anybody's going to have a life like that, you know, maybe an artist who can channel it is the right person to have to experience it.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly. So, how many paintings are in this exhibit? How many works are in this exhibit?
It's actually show of prints. That's the other issue with his work, is that the paintings are hard to get as loans. A lot of them have condition issues, and they're not safe to travel. They're pretty much where they are is where they stay.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's more costly and more scary in terms of security to have the painting. So,
right.
But also, he was an incredibly prolific printmaker.
Uh-huh.
It was a major part of his work, and so that's where we went. So there's 26 prints to show, and then we were able to borrow a painting from the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, which is wonderful to have one of the paintings here, too.
Right, right. And what is the difference between a print and a painting?
Prints are works on paper versus a painting, which is, you know, oil or tempera or something like that on canvas.
Uh-huh.
And they're works that are made with something called a plate, though that plate can be all kinds of material, so that's the kind of general term.
Uh-huh.
And it means you can make multiple copies, what they call impressions.
Right, kind of like a relief?
They can be, or some of them can be flat. There's multiple kinds of prints. There's both the flat and the relief ones that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's really interesting. I guess I didn't know that he did prints. I thought that they were all paintings, and that makes sense that they'd be more easily accessible, easy to travel and stuff like that. So.
Right, and for him it was also a marketing decision. He's trying to make a living as an artist, and you know, the prints are generally expensive. And like I say, can make multiples of them. So it was a better market for kind of an everyday person to go to a print rather than a painting. But he also used them as a way to work out ideas that he would then do with painting. So there's a lot of back and forth between these prints and his paintings. So he'll try an idea in a print, he'll work on something in a painting, he'll come back to a print and change it up a bit and redo it. But the numbers, it's crazy, the numbers, there's something like 700-plus individual images, and then
wow.
He counted in his lifetime. In his lifetime, he thinks he made about 30,000 impressions.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Where did he store them all?
Well, it varies. Some of them were people bought and collected. There are some that just, you know, disappeared. He kind of treated them kind of cavalierly, so we know that they were sometimes lying on the floor or, you know, put under the coffee cup or things like that.
Right.
But a lot were also still with him in the studio when he died, and they've gone into the collection of the Munch Museum in Oslo.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So what has been the response to this exhibit? I mean, do people who think they know who Edvard Munch is, and what is their response to this?
Right, it's a mixture of that. It's been kind of what we call a sleeper exhibition. So it's an unexpected one for us, as I say. So it's people are like, oh, that's interesting, and then it's been getting a lot of press attention, and so now the numbers are growing, and everybody's like, oh, I got to go see that show. What is that about? So that's been great. It's definitely been one where I've talked to people, and some of them, you know, you can say the screen and they'll know the image but not know the artist's name.
Right.
Others will have seen the name but they aren't sure how to pronounce it. So
right. They
don't, when I say it to them, and you know, Munch, they're thinking differently, so they don't recognize. Or they come in with the screen in their mind and then are really excited to find how much more there is to his work, and that the other works have the same kind of power and emotion to them, but they're different. So
it's good.
I'm pleased. And people get to see connections too, which is nice.
Yeah.
You always wonder if it's greater, you know, when you, as a curator, you put those things together and you think, I hope I'm getting this message across with the work
right.
I chose.
Right.
Never sure.
Right. Yeah. I think that's great that, you know, curators can do that. They can convey messages with their shows, and I think that's awesome. So what kind of message were you trying to send with this?
I really was interested in getting people to, you know, the tagline that our marketing department came up with for the exhibition is "See Beyond the Screen,"
right?
And that was really what I was thinking about in the work. You know, if we knew we couldn't get the screen
uh-huh.
itself,
right?
So we didn't want those expectations for people, but we also, I really wanted people to know what an incredibly diverse and interesting artist he was, and to look at the print work, because he really was a master printmaker. And I think for us nowadays, we're so used to printed work everywhere that we don't realize this kind of fine art print is a very different thing.
Uh-huh.
But it's a handmade, it's an individual thing, it's an artistic expression in a way that we are so used to, you know, like magazines and posters and everything else. It doesn't have the same resonance. So I think it's helpful to get people in to look at print work and kind of realize the difference there.
Right, right. Is print work common among other artists? Because I've heard of it, obviously, but I don't know that I've heard of other like famous artists. I can't think of any off the top of my head that do it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty common. A lot of them, contemporary and historical, move between. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on an impressionist artist right now from the Northwest, but just thinking about the French impressionists, you know, that people like, you know, Mary Cassatt was famous for her print work. Degas was famous for his print work.
Cool.
The beautiful things like Manet, Goya, all those kind of, kind of big ticket old master names were working in print. And certainly in the 20th century, some of the more famous ones are people like Andy Warhol and Rauschenberg and Rothko and all of them, right?
Uh-huh.
Herring and... So, yeah, it's really pretty. It depends on the artist. Some of them don't really like the medium. Others love it.
Right, right. I guess we've all been conditioned to think that everyone does paintings, and so that's, so you just kind of lump that all together, for the prints and the paintings together. But
and a lot of times people just, hanging in a museum and an art show, they just call it a painting as a kind of an overarching term for whatever's hanging in the museum.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's good to know. That's very interesting. What other kinds of stuff do you have going on at your museum?
Well, we, like I was saying earlier, we focus on the artists of the Northwest region, and try to do shows if it's not specifically a function of the region that kind of offers some context for it. So there's a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of installing this week a show called Northwest Art Now.
Mm-hmm.
That's about an every 2-year survey of contemporary Northwest art and what's happening in the Northwest, and that's for us Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Western Montana.
Oh, cool.
So that's about to open, and that's really great. It's a juried show of 24 artists, I believe, if I got the number right, for that show. And then... there's also an exhibition up right now of recent acquisitions to our collection that have come in over the last 5 years. And a retrospective collection of the glasswork of Dale Chihuly, and there's a gallery of his work always on view.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And then about a year ago, we added a Western art collection, so there's a wing for the HALB Western American art collection.
Cool. So lots of stuff going on there.
Try.
lots of art things.
Yeah.
Cool. Now you've
got... Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go on.
Brooke, if I can jump in just for a minute.
Sure. I was going to say, you have some other people with you, so if you want to say hi.
Yeah, hi. There's a couple of other exhibitions coming up that I would love to share about, but
yeah.
I wanted to touch base back on the Edvard Munch exhibition briefly. One of the really unique and interesting things about this exhibition was partnering with Pacific Lutheran University in town here, and they helped us connect with a really unique collector, Sarah G. Epstein. And Sarah has the largest collection of Munch prints outside of the Munch Museum in Oslo, Norway.
Uh-huh.
She came out for the opening, but Margaret can tell you about how that relationship developed, and we were able to do the show essentially through her generosity and being able to borrow works through her collection.
Oh, that's really cool. That's very generous of her. But what was her connection to you guys?
Well, it was actually through the Norwegian consul here in the Northwest, who has ties to Pacific Lutheran University. And so when we decided we wanted to do a Munch show, we realized, well, we don't have any, so we're going to have to borrow some.
Right.
And he spoke up and said, you know, I think I have a connection to this amazing collector in Washington, D.C. and let me see if I can get set up an appointment for you. And he made that connection, and our director and our chief curator went out and met her and saw the collection mm-hmm. and started those discussions. And she was the one, too, that pushed us. She said, I get a lot of requests, as you might expect, and I can't lend to everybody. So right. It has to be an interesting hook. You got to have an interesting topic. And
yeah.
That's what pushed us to really look for a new angle
uh-huh.
and an angle that really works for us. So
yeah.
That's great. But then once she says yes, then, that opens the door. So other museums and collectors then are like, oh, well, that's interesting. You know, she's an important collector. Her works are really great.
Uh-huh.
She's interested in this thing. We're interested in lending, too. So
yeah.
That helped enormously have a show without her.
Right, right. That's huge.
Yeah, it really, really is amazing.
So.
And then we, after she agreed and we were able to get loans through her, as Margaret said, other museums were interested in moving forward.
Right,
before
right.
They may have been considering. So as a result, there are works from all over the country in the exhibition.
Cool.
Travel just from everywhere.
Nice.
So it's a really great opportunity for people who live in the Northwest to be able to see most works. You wouldn't normally in the Pacific Northwest find a number of his works like this.
Right.
Really anywhere in the country, you wouldn't be able to find this many of his works on view together.
Right.
And one of the, you asked too about the response to the exhibition,
mm-hmm.
And just based on conversation with people, I think one of the most powerful responses is just that people really relate to the strong human emotions that his prints convey.
Cool.
Most people have experienced, human joy and grief and loss and triumph and all of those big emotions.
And panic.
Yeah. We've all had our scream moments.
Exactly.
So it's kind of fun to you look at those works and you feel it. You really relate to the feeling that's coming across through the way he expresses the emotions in his prints.
Right. Right. That's awesome. I think that's huge. So you have pieces of his that are from basically all over the world.
Not all over the world. Unfortunately, it's really expensive to ship art internationally, but definitely all over the country.
All over the country. Yeah, that's awesome.
Can we mention a few more things that are coming up?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have coming this fall, there's an exhibition called 30 Americans.
What is it?
Showcase
30 Americans? 30, 30 the number?
30 Americans. Yeah, 30 the number.
Okay.
30 Americans. That's a traveling exhibition that highlights work from the last 30 years of the most prominent African-American artists.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Then we have a collection, the Santa Rosa collection, which we'll have a preview this fall. We received a very generous gift last winter, a bequest of 225 works from the Santa Rosa family,
uh-huh.
who are big, they're very big philanthropists up in Seattle in this region.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those works are associated with the Silchuk School of Glass, which was founded by Dale Chihuly and the Halbert couple.
Right.
So a selection of those works is going to be on view this fall, and then the museum is going to break ground on building a new wing for that collection.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really exciting.
Yeah. And then next winter we'll have an exhibition that's traveling from the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery.
That's even, that's really huge.
Yeah, it is really huge. It's the first time it's come out this way.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exciting.
And that's all about contemporary portraiture.
Cool. Like portraits of who?
It varies. It's artists in all media and contemporary ideas about what portraits are and what they look like. So it's a juried show, too. It's a competition, and artists submit their work, and then it's chosen by a national panel.
Uh-huh. Cool. And I had a question about the upcoming exhibits, the 30 one. Yeah, 30 Americans. Is that referred to the number of artists or the number? I know you said the number of years, like 30 years. So is it 30 years and 30 artists or 30 years?
It was originally 30 artists, but it's been traveling for a while, and it's out of this big, it's huge contemporary private collection called the Rubel Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so things kind of come and go from it. So I think right now it's actually more like 32 artists
or oh, wow.
33 artists, something like that. It keeps kind of moving around, but it was right. originally 30. And that's the name on the catalog and everything else, so it's stuck with it.
So it's stuck with it. Changed. And it's 30-ish.
30-ish.
That works.
30-something.
Exactly. Cool. Well, this has been so great. This has been so great. It's been nice talking to all of you. And who all's remind me who all's there, and then say hi to give a shout out to everyone.
Sure. So you, Margaret, you already got, and then it's
Juliana Verhoort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm the marketing and communications, public relations and marketing. Excuse me, public relations and communications manager at Tacoma Art Museum.
Cool. Cool.
And I'm Alice McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the director of communications and marketing here. And these ladies have really shared with you all of the things that I had hoped that they would share.
Cool.
Silent partner.
Well, I'm only going to say one thing because Margaret is probably far too modest to share just how well received the exhibition really has been.
Uh-huh.
They've talked with you about some of the regional, local, and national media, but. We are really excited that the Muslim Museum in Oslo, on their Facebook page, they gave a shout-out to the exhibition and copied and tagged the article that was written from the Seattle Times, their cover, which is huge for us. So we're excited that we have gone international now, which is, I think, just the way we would have wanted it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's
like the mother. I was like, it's the mothership.
I know. Yeah, that's a fantastic job. That's a great job. So that's really cool. Well, thank you guys so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, and I'm gonna absolutely. I'm gonna sign off now, and I will. I'll chat with you guys. Thank you so much to Margaret Bullock of the Tacoma Art Museum for telling us about the Edvard Munch and the Sea exhibit. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. If you're in the Tacoma area, please be sure to check out the museum. They've got a lot of great exhibits going on. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks. This has been a Hotspur Enterprises Media Production.